Father, I pray that you be with us, that you open up your word, that you fill us with your spirit, that we may know of you and not anything of man, that we should dive into your person, Lord God. Dive into your spirit, Lord God. Fill us in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Now, I guess this passage, and I am in good company, this passage in 1 Timothy 2:9 is probably, I mean, every commentator that I read, every scholar that I've read has said, above all, this is a difficult passage. And I agree. Every commentator, scholar that I've read, it fluctuates wildly from scholars who said that Paul meant every word he said, and it doesn't have any other meaning, to Paul was addressing a particular problem in the Ephesian church. But there has to be a explanation. Paul did not write his epistles to cloud or muddy the waters. He wrote exactly what he meant to say. And me studying this and preparing for this lesson, I wanted to find out what he had to say and how does that explain what was going on then and our practices now. So with all that, let's dive into scripture. And I'm going to start in 1 Timothy 2, 7b. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. In like manner, also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Overall, through this passage, in particular, and the intent of Paul writing to Timothy is one, to encourage Timothy as a disciple, and two, to remind Timothy and to remind us all that our gathering together, the church of Christ, is to be a testimony to the Gentiles, a testimony to the world outside. Remember, Paul reminds them, I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. So everything that we do is being examined. It is being watched by the outside world. Like, really, right now, the church is in terrible reputation now. The divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. We have a credibility problem. There is as much sin in the church as there is in the world. And it was back even then. It's in the Corinthian church, in the Ephesian church now. So, Paul's main desire is that we should all live holy and blameless lives. And one of those things right off the top is that he desires men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And really, when you think about that, I think that is amazing. What was going on in the Ephesian church that Paul had to say, you guys are praying with wrath and doubting. And John, I wrote it down. And John, he says, you know, when you come and give your gift at the altar, and you remember somebody has something against you, let's go to Matthew 5. I'm not in a good mental state to quote these things off the top of my head. Matthew 5:24. And this is one of the problems Paul was getting at in the Ephesian church, because the Ephesian church, members of the Ephesian church, the Jewish brethren were just praying for the Jewish brethren. The Hellenists were praying for the Hellenists. So Paul is encouraging everyone everyone to pray for all people, for everybody. I've just lost it. Anyways, when you give your gift at the altar, Jesus says, when you give your gift at the altar, and you remember somebody has something against you, or maybe even you have something against somebody else, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and give your gift at the altar. Paul is saying, do not pray with animosity toward your brother or sister. All right. Back to Timothy 2. This matter is so important because it's a matter of our witness to the outside. This is not just a matter of church discipline. It is a matter of church witness. And we do have to have that witness to the people on the outside of the kingdom. And right now, in Ephesians, men were praying with wrath and doubting. How can you do that? But they were. And Paul said to Timothy, tell these men to stop it. So, and again, as witness to the outside world. In 2:9, in like manner, also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. That is also a matter of witness to the outside world. There was something, and again, I tried and tried, and praise God that I didn't succeed. Because it would have been wrong. When Paul says women are not to teach or have authority over men, it is not just because of an Ephesian heresy going on in that church. He meant it. He meant it. And he meant it for a witness to the outside. What was going on? And I tried to look at this again. You have people saying Paul meant every word he said, period. And people saying, yeah, Paul meant it for the church at that time, but not for all time. And you have arguments and reason that goes across the whole spectrum. One of the things that was going on in Rome, something was taking hold in the society. that something was called the New Woman. And the New Woman was a type of feminist movement. And that was taking hold of the society in Rome. We have seen something like it in the dress of women in that society, and even in our society. Something that I found interesting, the dress of a woman who was honoring her husband was called the stola. The stola was a robe-like garment, and it was not anything provocative or revealing or anything like that. The opposite of women who were in this movement, so to speak, they called the toga. So you can imagine what something like that would have caused a woman coming in to a church meeting with a toga on was totally inappropriate. Some people come into our church meetings with inappropriate clothing, but we are to minister to that person. Really, the women are supposed to minister to that person and raise up a standard in the church that this is unacceptable. And that's what Paul was raising up a standard. One of the things that was going on in my mind while studying this and is that the whole idea of women being in submission, of women not teaching, of women being quiet in church, there is examples of women doing exactly the opposite. One of those women is Priscilla in Acts 18. Let's back up to 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So you have Priscilla, along with her husband, teaching Apollos, refining his outlook, refining his understanding of the scriptures. And in 16:3, Paul esteemed Priscilla and Aquila. Like in Romans 6, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need you. And for indeed she has been a helper of many and myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. And likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my... Oh, I'll stop there. So, it's my wrestling with, okay, Paul, you said no women in authority, and here you have one of your coworkers, a woman. How do I balance that out? That's what we have to do. We have to learn how to balance these things out. And again, Pastor Ozzy was talking about this last night. It's all about character. In 2 Timothy, there we go, 1-7. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. This was happening in Ephesus. And Paul was telling Timothy, you have to put a stop to this. You have to put an end to this. Because that by its very nature destroys the reputation of the church. And that is what Paul is after. The reputation of the church. So it all of this has to do with our witness to other for other people. Since we're in the epistles, let's go to Ephesus 4, 17 through 21. And this is under the title of A New Life. 17. Thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work unrighteousness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed if you had heard him and being taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former character, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, to and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Give no place to the devil. Basically, that's our marching orders. It's to not give place to the devil. So, by not doing that, we testify that God is greater. Christ is greater. We, as believers and followers of Christ, have a greater testimony. Of that. And again, back to 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with propriety and moderation. You had basically two income levels in Ephesus. The wealthy women wore these fancy clothes. They wore jewelry, gold, pearls, and the like, and things that the poorer women, the women without as much means, could not afford. We have to remember that when we come together in church, to not dress, and I'm talking about men too, in expensive clothing or anything like that. Because we are a witness and we are a testimony of God's church. of witness in Jesus. Our adornment, and this is what Paul is saying too, again in verse 10, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works, that should be all of our adornment. Good works, life in Christ, testimony of life in Christ. That should be our adornment. We should not adorn ourselves with fancy, expensive clothing, but we should adorn ourselves with good works, with testimony of who Jesus is and who the church needs to be. And again, we all have people watching us. I remember when I was working, the Jim Baker scandal happened. And one of the guys I was working with, he didn't know at the time or care at the time about who Jesus is. He wanted to know, how can somebody like Jim Baker do what he did if he professed Christ? And that was a perfect opportunity for me and another believer that I work with to have testimony. And that's what we did. Because he would come in wide-eyed and saying, well, yeah, what about Jim Baker? Look what he did this week. And we were able to testify the life of Christ and godliness in Christ, rather than bring attention to what Jim Baker did. Another thing, interesting thing that happened, you could see God was after this guy for a long time. He lived on Lake Orion. And one Sunday, the local church was doing water baptism in the lake. I'm not sure if it was behind his house or close to it. But anyways, he came in Monday morning, wide-eyed, because this is the first time he's ever seen anything like that happen in real life. And again, it was an opportunity for my friend and I to testify of Jesus and to testify of the church. He gave his life to God. He gave his life to Christ. And I've kind of lost touch, but the last time I was in touch, he was still strong in the Lord. So praise God in that. So again, all the stuff that happens in our churches, good and bad, excuse me, are designed to be a witness to the world. In Malachi, where are you at? There you go. Malachi 1. One 11, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So, excuse me. There you go. That is who and what we're supposed to be. We are to be a light unto the nations, the Gentiles, the ethnos, all ethnics groups. That is why the first part of this chapter is Paul encouraging prayer, lifting up holy hands, clean hands to God, that everyone can see that and that be a testimony of when our men and women praising God in a way that is not tainted or colored by the world. So that's why Paul's interest in this is so great, and that's why Paul's wording seems to be really restrictive. But Paul realizes and knows that this is so important. So important, our sense of self, our adornment, who we think we are, is not only secondary, but third or fourth, Christ, and demonstrating to the people on the outside of Christ, on the outside of the church, is much more. Our witness is much more important than anything else. Yes, there were bad things. There were heresies going on in Ephesus. While we're in 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy 5. And we'll... we'll pick up on 11. But refuse the younger widows, for when they've begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. In the epistles to the Thessalonians, Paul was concerned about people being idle. Paul is still concerned about people being idle. Picking up again in verse 14, therefore, I desire that the younger women marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside to Satan. Again, this is about the witness of the church. And we always have to remember, we have to have that pure witness to who Jesus is. And what is accomplished for us, and that he can change human beings' life. I'm reading this. Okay. In chapter 6, and we'll pick it up in let's pick it up in 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding profane and idle battling and contradictions of what we falsely call knowledge. And by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. So, this is Paul giving advice to his young disciple. And really, when I'm reading these and going over these are not Timothy is not some newcomer to the faith. He is not a newcomer to being discipled. It shows how much we all need to listen to each other, to heed, to acknowledge and I'm not even sure the word I'm not. We need to listen to our people who are discipling us. And that doesn't stop. Going back to 1 Timothy 2. And again, all this chapter is calling the people of God to maintain a good witness. Again, some commentators think that Christian women should not have nice things. or wear nice things to church. They don't believe it. I really don't believe it either. There should be a sense of propriety and a sense of modesty, but to not wear gold jewelry or pearls or something like that, or do your hair up. Be mindful of where you are. Men also, be mindful of where you are. You are a witness to a changed life in Christ. Those things may be fine, going out to dinner, but maybe not so fine, going to church in a mixed congregation. Mixed meaning, people of means and people of no means. Okay. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Again, I see Paul's point. We don't do that in this age. We do that to some degree, but we have women pastors. We have women in authority. Just like Priscilla was in authority. Some people think because Hebrews is not given credit to its authorship that Priscilla wrote Hebrews. I'm kind of in agreement with that. Women did not write epistles or wasn't supposed to write epistles. But I agree with the thought, and there are many scholars that think this, that Priscilla wrote the gospel to the Hebrews. Because many times, Hebrews uses the language of Paul. And if you were a disciple of Paul or a co-worker with Paul, that language, Pauline language, would naturally occur in your language. So that is why I am personally, this is personally just me, giving credit to Priscilla for writing Hebrews. So, and again, not permitting a woman to teach or have authority over a man to be in silence, you have Priscilla and Phoebe and Timothy's mom and grandma in some type of authority, in some type of teaching. So again, it comes down to character. The character of those in ministry, which is so, so important. Pastor Ozzy was talking about gifting. Gifting is free, but character is earned. Pete Beck said, what a man's gift fills up, his lack of character tears down. I do not want to be that man, that my lack of character tears down what God has built up. Now, 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. True. One of the heresies, the Gnostic heresies that were going on at the time, was that man came from the woman. And really, if you look at it, even nowadays, you know, where do men come from? They get birthed by their mom. But originally, Adam was formed first. Then God took Eve out of Adam, so to speak. In verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Again, both of them were there, were present, when God said, don't eat of this fruit, because if you do, you'll surely die. So Eve was considering the fruit. The serpent deceived her, saying, no, you'll not die. That's, God is holding out on you. Because if you eat of this fruit, you will become wise. And she was deceived. Adam probably was standing around when this is going on, and he allowed it. So Adam was that person. Adam did allow that to happen. So in a way, Adam was deceived also. So whether it's all the woman's fault, or man shares the blame, I kind of think so. So, in all this, this is not necessarily the point. The point is, the church needs to be a witness. And that's what Paul is commissioning Timothy to do, to clean up the church at Ephesus, to instill, excuse me, right teaching and right living and right worship. Remember, half this chapter is towards the men. And the men have things to deal with. They have to stop worshiping in an improper manner. They have to pray and pray for others, not just the people like them. They need to pray without wrath and doubting. Again, this is all for the witness to Christ. And I really don't understand. Maybe it's just my upbringing and my in Christ. How can somebody pray to God with anger in their heart or with malice toward a fellow believer or doubt what's going on. Can you doubt what you were praying or the person you were praying to? Do you understand the person is real and alive and with us? Can you harbor anger to your brother? Jesus even says, if you have something against your neighbor, go be reconciled. If your neighbor has something against you, go be reconciled. Then come and give your gift. Then come and pray. That's how important reconciliation is. We need to put that down and put that away. And again, in verse 15, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith, love, holiness, with self-control. That is for all of us. That is not just for women. We need faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Without that, we are not going to get into the presence of God. So again, this whole chapter, and it's just like us, just like human beings. When somebody talks about one thing, like women being submission, all of a sudden, that's what the chapter's about. And it's not. The chapter is about the church being a witness to those in the world. That, again, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is what we need to live for and to do. And with that, I am done. And I really do believe chapter 2 is about being a witness, a true witness to Jesus Christ. Father,
thank you.
It is so enjoyable to be in your company and in the company of the saints. I thank you for that. I thank you that you are with us. And I ask you to bless those on this call. Bless them with a rich day in you, in your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.